Nada. Engataram.
Alright, the through paragdal pasuk zayin. Right.
That's all there was on Vav?
Yes.
Yeah, that's all there was.
Vayagad l'Mordechai. So Mordechai told Hasach, who's Daniel, is kol asher karahu, everything which felt. Karahu means that it happened to him. Karahu usually means happening without a design or a plan. Which is strange here. It is strange that's here. Vayis parash sakesef. He told him about the parash sakesef is the amount, the sum of money. Asher Amar Haman Lishkol, which Haman said to weigh out Al Ginzi HaMelech into the treasure houses of the king by Yehudim La'abdam, to destroy the Jews. So he told him two things. He said one thing, Kol Asher Karahu, everything that happened to him. And the pasuk doesn't tell us what that is. And he told him about the money. So there's something here that's not being said. When the Targum says that when the Pasuk says he told Hasach everything that happened to him, that's referring to not bowing down to Haman, and not bowing down to the Avodah Zarah that Haman erected.
That's what
the Targum says, yeah. Everything that happened to him, Ish Kol Asher Karahu, everything that happened to him, the Targum doesn't learn that he told Hasach about the Gzeirah, about the decree. Ish Kol Asher Karahu is what led to the decree. He didn't tell him. It's not explicitly mentioned in the Pasuk or in the Targum that he actually told him about the decree. He told him he didn't bow down to Haman. He didn't bow down to the Avodah Zarah.
Oh,
we said that previously.
Is that because he thought it was his fault?
Not necessarily. And then, as you know, the second thing he mentioned was that Haman gave money, which was turned down, which was refused, in order to destroy the Jews. So Megillah Starim, in this pasuk, he goes to Shitasa, he explains this pasuk according to what he said previously. Very interesting. Karahu means that Mordechai told him everything that happened to him. Now the Gzeirah on Klal Yisrael is not happening. It's not happening. And it didn't happen to him.
No, it is a happening. It's not happening.
No, it happened. No, decrees of Minashamayim are not called happenings. Mm-hmm. A decree is something which it's a Gzardin. You don't call a Gzardin a happening. That's a deliberate decision by Kadosh Baruch Hu to make a Gzardin in Klal Yisrael. Gzeiras don't happen.
It's the happening of the Jewish people that led to it.
Yeah, well, he says, then the second question you have, which was on the tip of your tongue, is Kol Asher Karahu means everything that happened to him. It doesn't mean what happened to all of Klal Yisrael. So what happened to Mordechai that didn't happen to Klal Yisrael? The decree was on Mordechai equally. Mordechai and Klal Yisrael equally. What happened to Mordechai that was unique? So Megillah Starim says it's referring to when Haman was passing by Mordechai. Mordechai would have bowed down to Haman. Shalom Malchus. Megillah Starim learns that it wasn't Avodah Zarah. We said there was a Machlokes. Megillah Starim learns it wasn't Avodah Zarah to bow down to Haman. Mordechai would have bowed down to him. You don't incite someone in such a position of power. You don't do that. And his Bechir was taken away from him. Megillah Starim says on the previous Pasuk, Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachaveh, Mordechai will not bend his knees, he will not bow, so he explains that means he can't, because his Bechir was taken away. His free will was taken away from him. And on this Pasuk, Mordechai refers to it again. That's a happening. That's something that happened. That's a siman min hashamayim for something. The Kadosh Baruch Hu took away Mordechai's Bechira and didn't allow him to appease Haman. He would have done it. He didn't allow him to appease Haman, So in the Shemayim, this whole Gzera is being brought, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding the reins, he's directing the traffic, it's everything is up here, Shkacha Pratis now. The world is being run according to a cheshbon of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, of Hashkacha Pratis, divine intervention, and it's intervening in people's ability to choose, which is very rare. So he learns Karahu from a lashon of something which is rare, a happening. I mean, that's how the Megillah Stam works. La'abdom. He also points out in this pasuk, you see the word that Haman paid the king, the money was supposed to be put into the treasure house of the king. La'abdom. La'abdom, again, we said Achashverosh understood to mean is to make the Jews lose their way. Here it's, you know, that the king thinks it's la'abdom. See, the other terms that we had before, la'shmidim, la'harag, those aren't mentioned here. Here we're mentioning things from Achashverosh's point of view. The Medrash on this pasuk makes a gzeirah shavah. It finds the word is asher karahu, that which happened to him. The word happening is strange. It's out of place. It doesn't belong here. Nothing happens. The reason why it uses the word is asher karahu, the Medrash says, is because, you know, happening. Things happening. This is a Medrash. Things happening of their own accord, without any rhyme or reason, without any control upon high, without the master plan. That's the theology of a Malik. A Malik believes that we are created to live without a plan. A Malik does not believe that a Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that the world should run according to any direction, any goal, any plan. That's the, you know, the goal of a Malik.
They believe that in God, though?
They believe that there's no connection between God and the world. They do believe in God because they wage war against him. They say the world is ours. God, you created it. And we're not even going to thank you for it. The world is ours. And we could use it even against God. So there's no such thing as intervention. There's no such thing as hashkacha. The world is like severed. It's cut off from the Olam HaTachta in the lower world. Our world, our familiar world, is cut off from any connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they won't have a connection. And that's why they attack Klal Yisrael. Anyone that had any semblance of a belief in a higher power would not have attacked Klal Yisrael when they came out of Mitzrayim. But Amalek, they have no choice. They have no choice. They have to attack Klal Yisrael. If they want to sever the link between this world and the real world and the upper world, the only way to do that is to eliminate from this world anybody that believes in that. Klal Yisrael is the glue. It's the link between the two worlds. As long as Klal Yisrael is here, there's always going to be Olam Haba on this world. Klal Yisrael brings Shemayim in this world. In the words of that Rasha Marusha, Shlo Yizachar Shmai, the one that his hands, that we went through the most recent Churban, he writes in his work Mein Kampf that the Jew is responsible for the enslavement of the world, because as long as the Jew is present, so then they have a conscience, and then man is shackled by his conscience, and man can only be free by destroying the Jew. That's a Malik. So a Malik can't tolerate Jews. They can't. It's not, you know, there's no common ground. If the Jew is here, a Malik can't live, because a Malik can only live if there's no connection between Shemayim and Eretz. And the pasuk that when a Malik attacked Klal Yisrael, the pasuk refers to that encounter as a shekarcha baderach. It was a chance encounter along the way. Because that's the approach of a Malik. A Malik attacks because everything is chance. Everything is the way we want it. There's no consequences. There's no responsibility. Just do what we want. Do what we feel. Hashakorcha baderach. And the greatest danger from a Malik is not is not the physical, is not from a physical quarter, it's from the influence. Amalek's influence pervades creation. So the Medrash says, that's why it says, Iskalasha Karahu, the Mordechai told Hasach, everything which was Karo, everything which happened to him, because he's making reference to this not being just an ordinary tzara from a nation that hates us and wants to cause us pain. This is the battle of all battles. It's either us or them. It's between those that believe in Ashkacha and those that believe in Mikra. Those that believe, have Amunah and believe in the oneness of the two worlds. The two worlds are really one. And those who believe in this dichotomy that what's here is here and what's there is there. And there's no reason, there's no plan, there's no Ashkacha Yaina. So that's why he uses the word Iskal Shekharo. The Kayak has a remez on Karahu. The word Karahu is Kuf Resh Hei Vav. The word Karahu is spelled Kuf Resh Hei Vav. If you rearrange the letters, you get Kuf Vav Resh Hei, which spells Kara, which is a beam. It's a beam. And that represents the beam that Haman... Tell you, almost every Pasuk, Rakeach finds a remez for Haman being hung from a tree. Kara is Kara. The idea is that the Megillah has one shot to it, which looks like it appears as if everything is going Haman's way. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu accomplished the V'nahafachu, and he overturned it. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the same thing that Haman was going to do against the Jews, and he turned it on Haman. Which means that in the words that spell the impending doom of Klal Yisrael, also have to be the words that will destroy Haman in the end. It has to be in there. That's the Amkus of it. The Rekeach also points out, if you look in the word by Yehudim, Eis Parasha Kesav Asher Amar Haman Lishkal Al Ginzei Melech by Yehudim La'abdam, the word Yehudim is spelled with an extra yud. It has three yuds in it. And he says that the extra yud represents the 10,000 silver talents that Haman was willing to give Achashverosh for the Jews.
10 kids going to
them. Okay. But the context is referring to the 10,000 silver talents. Mm-hmm. That's the context. And the pshat in that is that he was telling Asak to tell Esther that if she has any thoughts of trying to bribe the king with anything, this was the Rekeach. So then it's hopeless because the king turned down more money than the Jews would ever be able to come up with. She just, forget it. It's not going to happen. Pasukas. Besides the above, Reish Pashegin Ksavadas, also the real letter. Remember we said that there's the Ksav and there's the Pashegin? So Mordechai got a hold of the real letter. The meaning of the real letter, Hadas of the law, Ashenitam B'Shushan, which was given, placed in Shushan, Lashmidam, to destroy them. So here he used the word Lashmidam, not Labdam. Because when Haman spoke to Achashverosh and he offered him the money, it was Abdam. But this letter says Lashmidam. So Nasan Loi, he gave it to Asach. Laharis is Esther, Jeshel Esther. Lahagid La, and to tell her. So Mordechai is telling Esther. Letzavosala, and command her. Mordechai is commanding the queen. Lavoya la Melech, to come to the king, Lishanalai, and beg him. Levakish Mufanam of Amma, and request of him. Or request from before him, and her nation. So Mordechai is commanding Esther to approach the king, to beseech him, to beg him, and to reveal her origins. Yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot in this passage. He's commanding her. Mordechai always commands Esther. Where's the precedent for that?
He told her to be quiet, he told her everything, the whole beginning that he was commanding her what to do.
That was before she was queen.
That's right.
Even when she was queen, that he was standing at the
yeah,
Shah.
Yeah, she still did it. She still
did it. That was a reminder. That wasn't the tzibur.
Let's see. Let's go look and see what the Lashon HaPasuk is.
It says tzibur.
To remind Asher tzibur, that which he had commanded before.
Yeah, it did say
tzibur.
Even so, let me see. Ein Esther Magedus Melanata. Mordechai Tziva Allah Shalai Sagid. Yes, it says Tziva in Parak Beis Pasuk Yud. He commanded her. There's a difference between commanding her not to reveal her origins and commanding her to go to the king and beg for her people. To command her not to reveal her origins, there's going to be a lot of pressure on her. Ahasuerus wants only that. And there's no real reason why not. You know, like, he commanded her. Pashtus, it was al pi ruach hakodesh. Because, you know, this is something which you don't reveal unless you have to. But when the whole of Klai Yisrael is in danger, they're all basically under a sword. And Esther is the only help. So why isn't it enough just to tell her to go to Ahasuerus? See, it's two different things. It should be enough just to tell her. She should know what to do.
I have a question.
Didn't tell her just another word for
no.
Why?
There's a double expression here. It says,
why would... Why would Mordechai assume that this was the way that they were supposed to try to save the Jews? Maybe she was put into the king's palace and they didn't know who she was, so that when all the Jews were killed, then there would still be Jews because of her.
One Jew?
Why wouldn't you want to try and save as many Jews as possible?
I'm saying maybe like.
But you try and save it. But you try and do you have a mitzvah pikuach nefesh? You try and save as many Jews as possible. I mean, if that has to happen, it's not. Mordechai's not going to bring that about.
But so then
he has to save the entire Jews.
We said that he said that the only way is with tefillah and tshuva. So now he's trying something else anyway. So he is trying. It was like he went to the gate to say like Dafka is not using his connections, but now he is using his connections.
Yeah. It's interesting that even though he's using it, see, he is using it, but he doesn't want the Bnei Yisrael to know about it.
They have to think there's no.
They have to think that Esther's not Jewish.
We're
going to see later that one of the reasons why Esther invited Haman to the Mishnah was to get the Jews to do tshuva, you know, even to reach an even greater depth of tshuva. So he saw the Yad Hashem and putting Esther in the palace. It was miraculous. It was innate. She wasn't supposed to be there. He saw the Yad Hashem. But that's not what he wanted Klai Yisrael to be involved with. So you're right. You're making an important point. That Mordechai saw Chesh Baruch plans that Esther should save them, but that's not Klai Yisrael's establishment. Klai Yisrael is tshuva and tefillah and nothing else. So it splits a little bit. The Yosef Lakach and the Vilna Gaon in this pasuk, they say similar things. He asks this question, why does it say that the words Lahagid Ulitzavos, Hasach is supposed to tell Esther, and he's supposed to command Esther? Why both? Yosef Lakach says that Lahagid is the actual message. Lahagid, the word, you know, the message, what to do. To go, that's Lahagid. And Litzavos is that he's investing these instructions with the power of a mitzvah of a chacham. There's a mitzvah, where's ever a mitzvah to listen to Mordechai because he's a Talmud chacham? He doesn't learn it because of Kibbutz. Or because he was her husband. He learns because of his role as a Talmud Chacham. He's a Talmud Chacham, he's from the Gedali Ador. And in the Gedali Ador, when he says something, that has the strength of a tzivui. That's a mitzvah. That's, you know, when the Rabbanan are misakin mitzvahs, so then we make a bracha, shekidishana b'mitzvah yisav v'tzivanu. That the Rabbanan have the ability of investing an instruction with the level of a command. So he learns this because of Mordechai's level of a chacham that he can command. He's saying what to do. Lahagid is what to do, and Litzavos is she must do it. What's the command? Lavoi. She has to go on her own accord to Achashverosh. That's dangerous. Esther never went of her own accord to Achashverosh. Never, ever. From the moment she was dragged away from Mordechai's house. A woman that goes of her own, a married woman that goes of her own free will to another man becomes Asa to her husband. She has a din of a Zayna. She has a din of a Zayna. She's not allowed to go of her own accord. If she's taken, then she has no chiyuv to give up her life because she's karka ulam, she's passive. But if she goes, so what do you think? What do you think? There's no chiyuv to. Why should he divorce her? I'm asking, why should he divorce her?
Well, he's commanding her to go on her own accord. He should defeat her, divorce her, and then they could be back together.
Achashverosh is still a guy. Achashverosh is still a guy. That's not going. Achashverosh is a guy.
After she divorces someone else.
Yeah, you can't.
You're not allowed to get married to her anyways.
You could, no. If she would be divorced and then she has relations with a guy, she can come back.
So, when she divorced?
No, it's only if she's married. If she's married to a guy, she can come back. That's not the point. The point is this is something that she was trying to avoid with every fiber of her being. And this is what Mordechai is pushing her towards that. Go. And then the Megillus, the Yosef Lakach adds, Lishchanen, he understands not as begging. Lishchanen means, Mishchanen, the Sherish of the word Lishchanen is Chen. That means she should endeavor to find favor in his eyes. She should find grace in his eyes. Chen is Lashon Chinam. That she should find grace in his eyes. That means she should approach him in a manner that he's going to look upon her with favor. So those two things are a deadly, deadly combination. She's going to go to him for the first time, and she's going to go to him in a manner that he's going to look upon her with chen. So he might take her and violate her, and she'll be a part of it. The Vilna Gaon says that's why Mordechai commanded her. He did not command her because he thought she wasn't going to listen to him. Of course she's going to listen to him. If he tells her to save the Jewish people, his word is her command. He doesn't have to use the word command. The reason why he's using the word command is because when the Navi and the Gadol HaDor commands her to do something and she goes, that she's not going. She's not going of her own volition. She's going because she's forced. And if she's going because she's forced, it's not her fault. So the Vilna Gaon says that Mordechai commanded her to go in order to remove from upon her.
Still your duty.
Her actions.
Why are you saying that?
Doing it
your father
commands us to do a very, no, do.
But this is not your father.
This is
the Talmud Chacham of the door. No, it's different.
Yeah.
The Talmud Chacham of the door tells someone that if they have to do this thing to save the entire Klal Yisrael, it has a different status. Now there's no precedent for this in Halacha. You won't find this in Shulchan Aruch. There's only in the Mefarshim of Megillas Esther. So Halacha Lemaisa, I don't know what to tell you. I hope we never get into a matzav like that. But that's how they're learning here. That the Gadol HaDor, he's the Shomer of Klal Yisrael. He's the one that's responsible for Klal Yisrael's safety and well-being. And if he sees that the entire Klal Yisrael is in danger, so then he's empowered to command a member of Klal Yisrael to do something to save Klal Yisrael, even though it's an aver. It's you know, to save Klal Yisrael. Yeah, it's a matter of a segment of Klal Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom, being wiped out. So then it's a bigger Chil Hashem to do the aver. And they'll get wiped out. It'll be a Kiddush Hashem. But that's not the situation. Here it's the entire Klal Yisrael. And the Gadol HaDor commands her. She has no choice. She has no choice. It's not her Avera.
I heard that in Europe, during the Holocaust, there was some Gadol HaDor, wherever was the rubber, there was a certain town allowed that there be music played by somebody so that before they all got killed.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't.
They'd go with the, yeah. Okay. So.
So that what?
So that what?
Like, you know,
so that,
I said, well, what Isser is being done? I mean, here we're talking about an Isser of Gila Reis. It's not, that's what I'm saying, Halacha L'Maisa. You don't take Halacha L'Maisa from the way Mefarshim explained Pesuk Menach. You don't. That's not, you don't take, you could, but you don't necessarily. You could, but you don't necessarily. We should. They are Rishonim to use that svara. Hatzalas Klal Yisrael Shani.
Who are the Mefarshim? These are
Mefarshim. It's a Ram. It's a Ram, yeah. Tell us Klai Yisrael.
It's a Rishonim. We could use it, can't we?
It doesn't mean you Paschal, like every way Rishon explains the Gemara. A Paschal, they're saying, you know, you have to go by Shulchan Aruch. Rishonim also, they're explaining a Gemara. They're explaining why she, you know, why did Mordecai not bow down to Haman? Why, you know, he put all of Klai Yisrael on Sakana.
Gemara didn't have it.
Gemara doesn't talk about why Mordecai was right in putting all of Klai Yisrael in danger. But in any case, you know, whether she would have been mutter to her husband or asa to her husband, but the command of the Chacham would definitely take away from the Chaymer Avera, if there would be an Avera at all, would take from the Chaymer Avera. Pasuk Tes. Vayavi Asach, Asach came, Vayagad le Esther, and he told Esther, Es divrei Mordechai, the words of Mordechai. The commentary of Reb Shlomo Alkablitz, the Menais Levi, says in this pasuk two things. It says Vayagid. Vayagid, the word, the sherish of the word Vayagid is Gid. A Gid is a hard sinew. It's a sinew, it's hard. There's no flavor. You know, the Gemara says no flavor. Gidanasha. There's nothing there. It's hard. It's kasha ke'etz. So vayaged is when you're saying over something harsh. The pasuk uses the word vayaged when Asach relates to Esther Mordechai's words because he's telling her something she doesn't want to hear. This is what she didn't want to hear. She has to go to Achashverosh voluntarily, and that's going to save Klal Yisrael. It's a very harsh thing. It's very strong words. Eis divrei Mordechai. I mean, we've spoken about this before, that the Persian society, and especially the Jews among them, were masters of innuendo. They never said anything outright. They said something, and from what they said, you had to figure it out. There was a tremendous chachma in this. Like we talked about before, we talked about that from the Kadmainim, Haggai. The word Haggai means that he had a shlita on the Keach HaDibur. He had a very deep, deep, penetrating understanding. That's something which you find by the Persians. That you don't have to break things down and spell things out. You could express a half of a concept, half of a sentence, and they'll be able to finish it off on their own. There's very well a lot of depth in the Keach HaDibur. And again, with the message is going back between Esther and Mordechai, of course you had to protect. The secret by giving things over in the form of a code, just the Rashi Prakim. Mordechai did not say to Asach, Rachel bit Chatana, all the details, all the breakdowns. Someone could overhear it. Someone could intercept Asach and torture him and make him say what Mordechai told him. So Mordechai just said it in a way which had tremendous chachma with very few words. And then when Halsach told it over to Esther, so then he had to tell Esther his understanding of Mordechai's words. Which is interesting, because according to this, Daniel was more adept, Halsach was more adept at understanding the hidden meanings of Mordechai's words than Esther would be. Because he could have just said over the exact words to Esther, and she would have figured it out. But in any case, Reb Shlomo Alkab, it says on this pasuk, it says, Vayagila Esther, he told a very harsh thing. Ace divrei Mordechai, the word ace means he included things. The word ace always means to include. He included things in the words of Mordechai that besides the actual words that Mordechai used, he also made diukim and he enlarged upon it and he told Esther more than what he heard. Pasuk Yud. Vatayra Esther la'asach v'tetzaveo el Mordechai. Esther said to Asach and she commanded him to Mordechai. So here you see that she commanded him to Mordechai. It doesn't say here that she commanded him on Mordechai, because she's no longer doing that. It was the first time she sent Asach to Mordechai to make himself available to Mordechai without any instructions. But now there are instructions. And she's going to tell Mordechai something that he doesn't want to hear. So that's, you know, the Alshuk says in this pasuk, that's why it switches from Al Mordechai to El Mordechai, because she has something to tell to Mordechai, something that, you know, something directly to Mordechai that's not going to be according to Mordechai's liking. Mordechai is going to be on the receiving end. Alas, he's going to be on the receiving end. It's El Mordechai. Maisa Asak didn't do it. He didn't. We'll see later. Asak did not give over to Mordechai the words, the exact words of Esther. He couldn't. But that we'll see in the next couple of psukim. So that's why it says El. The Targum comments on the word of Tzaveh. She commands Mordechai. What's she commanding Mordechai? You look in the next passage, she's not commanding Mordechai in anything. In the next passage, she's telling Mordechai how hard it is for her to go to Achashverosh. She's not commanding Mordechai, so why does it say that she's commanding him to Mordechai? She's commanding him to Mordechai. The Pashim Shad says she's commanding him to go to Mordechai. The Targum learns, no, she's commanding Mordechai. You're right, the Pashim Shad is that she's commanding Hasak to go to Mordechai, because Hasak doesn't want to go to Mordechai. He doesn't want to tell him this. He doesn't want to tell Mordechai this thing. He doesn't want to be the bearer of bad tidings. Mordechai's not going to be happy. But the Targum learns that the Tzaveh Mordechai, she commanded him to bring a command to Mordechai. What was the command? What was the command? Don't start up with Haman. That was the command. She told Mordechai, she commanded Hasak to tell Mordechai. She commanded Hasak to tell Mordechai that this is not a regular enemy that's rising up against the Jews, and this is not average ordinary anti-Semitism. This is the machlokes between Yaakov and Esav. She saw this. This is the machlokes, the age-old machlokes between Yaakov and Esav that will only be finished in the time of Asad Lavai, in the time of the Gula Shleima. And we're not going to win this one.
What's the thing? Don't start off with the Rasha, especially if things are going well for
you. Right, B'shasha Mesachekeslai. Altiskar Imireim. Gemara learns off in the Pasuk. Right, when Esav's hand is strong over Yaakov, that's not the time to start up.
Rabbi, that sounds very interesting, because what Esther did was she made the feast and started up with Esav, and she started up with Haman.
No, she didn't start up. She lulled him into a sense of complacency, and then she got his head chopped off. Right, that's not called starting up with someone. Starting up with someone is when you leave him intact and you try and oppose him. She did not try and oppose him. It was a fatal blow. He's not coming back. That's exactly because of what you're saying. You don't start up with a rush, you eliminate Rishayim. So Esther was telling Hasak to tell Mordechai that this is not the right mahalach. To start up with Haman is not the right mahalach. Pasuk Yud Aleph.
It's a short pasuk.
Well, we still have what to say on pasuk Yud. Reb Shlomo Akub, it says, "What's Tzaveh on Mordechai?" She told Mordechai that he's a third pshat. He's being over a mitzvah. But the Tzaveh on Mordechai is that she's telling us to tell Mordechai he's being over a mitzvah. Which mitzvah is Mordechai violating? Lo'ishenasu es Hashem Elokecha. You're not supposed to test Hashem.
We're testing him.
Testing Hashem, that means that somebody believes that Kadosh Baruch Hu could do anything, he could save anybody. So jump out of a window of a 50-floor building, and I'll say, if Hashem could save anyone, he'll save me too. You're not allowed to do that.
Putting
yourself in a situation where you need a miracle to get out of. It's like Ein Sem Kanal Nesh. And Mordechai is doing that. So what did Mordechai say? But you're not allowed to bow down to Haman. It's Avodah Zarah. So I didn't have a choice. It's not that I'm relying on a miracle. It's not that I'm trying to test God. I don't have a choice. The Shulchan Aruch says I can't. So Esther says, okay, so you didn't have to bow down to him. But if you remember the Medrash we said before, he wouldn't even give Haman Shalom. He said, that you weren't mechayev to do. And who said you have to be sitting there and Haman has to trip over you? When Haman comes by, hide yourself. They didn't have to do. So she says, you're being over on Lysanasas Hashem Lokecha. This is a machlekes between Mordechai and Esther. It's a very, very difficult machlekes. She said, the extra things which you did, so you weren't chayv to do that. And that you're relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save you, and you're not allowed to do that. But it's Tzaveh on Mordechai. Rav Shlomo Alkovitz says that don't think that Mordechai Chas V'Shalom did these things out of gaiva. He said, I'm not going to hide when Haman comes around. I'm going to stay there and I'm going to show that I'm bigger than him. Don't think for a moment, don't entertain that idea that Mordechai did this because of his own personal cup, his own personal gaiva. He did it L'Shem Shamayim. He says a very, very interesting insight here. Mordechai knew that the Jewish people had this aver hanging over them. They had this aver hanging over them. That they bowed down to the idol, they had two averes. They bowed down to the idol in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and they had Hana from the Suda Vakashverish. Mordechai saw this was an opportunity to be mechaper for that. That publicly, you'll show the Jews don't bow. And they're so not intimidated by it that they don't even say hello to the one that's making them bow. And they won't hide. That you need to, it has to be a public demonstration of a Kiddush Shem Shemayim in order to be Misak and the Chil Hashem Shemayim that the Jews made in the Bria, that you can get the Jews to bow down. All you gotta do is put a gun to the head, and there goes their religion. And their lives, their own lives are more important than the religion. So Mordechai had to go out of his way. It wasn't enough to hide. Because if you hide, you don't get the kapara. And he adds the second Avera that they had enough in the Suda Vakashverish. That Esther was mechapa for. Because she didn't eat anything in Achashverosh's. She didn't eat anything in Achashverosh's appearance. She didn't eat the bread. She didn't eat the kuptis, pasakum, bishalakum, yayin nesek. She didn't eat anything. And according to one view, she subsisted on a diet of beans. And that was a kapara. That all the Jews had enough in the Suda Vakashverosh. And Esther, in the palace of Achashverosh, had no enough from Achashverosh. So Mordechai was mesakein the avera of bowing down to the Tzelem and Nebuchadnezzar. She was Misak Nechera being Hana from the Suda Vakashverish.
Who says it?
This is Reb Shlomo Alkovitz, the Mechaber of the Chadaidi. Okay, we'll stop here.
Done yet?
So